Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. My wonderful co-host, Ronnie, is on board.
Hello, good evening, everybody. I'm glad to be here, Jackie.
Oh, always love having you here, Ronnie, you know that. Tonight's show, an exciting one, owning the shadow, light and dark, what's reflecting to you and triggering you in your personal life. So, as we enter the shadow, and of course I'm always ahead of everyone.
You've been sitting around in the shadow?
Well, they make certain that I get it handed to me every way they can. So I want to handle some old business here before we get into the new. Anyway, I want to apologize to everyone for the length of the newsletter. I went into channel, and I lost the morning and early part of the afternoon. I thought maybe I had 3 or 4 pages. It turned out to be 11, so I apologize to all of you. But I think it was pretty interesting. I hope, anyway.
I haven't read it yet, but I'm going to do that.
Good.
I'm being honest. It's not a lack of interest.
I know. People have to print it out and put it in the bathroom or somewhere because it's so damn long.
Exactly, but I'm going to do that.
Okay, now... for those that haven't had a chance to read it yet, they talked so much about what we're doing and how it is affecting and speeding up contact. The next day, I opened my computer, and there was something that excited me beyond belief. And I'm going to give you the website. It will be in next month's newsletter. It's www.worldufodisclosure.org. Now, energetically, I can tell you when this came through, it was, I haven't had this feeling since this work all hit me and everything happened. But I can tell you that the energy behind this is stunning, absolutely stunning. And it is a call to the world, to every country, and they're proactive here to start disclosures at the governmental level. Since France made their big disclosure, and that link was in the, I believe it was in the web, in the newsletter, France, again, for those that may not have been listening, opened their files, 50 years worth of UFO sightings and all of their investigations and discoveries, all documents. In the first 2 hours that site was up, it crashed. It is almost impossible to get on. This one, the World UFO Disclosure.org, is, if you click on it, shows who's involved. And I can tell you that the names of people will shock you. It was so touching to me to see all of the people that we have admired, or certainly I have, many of whom I have met, including Shirley MacLaine, who I've met, and, you know, Dolores Cannon, James Gilliland, John Mack before he died, Dr. Brian O'Leary. I mean, I could go on and on. It's a huge list of names. And then there's also another list of all of the supporting groups. It's really the power behind this is just stunning. That's all I can tell you.
A wonderful long list of links, of the website links. I mean, my gosh, there's so many of them, it's going to take us a year to get through it.
Well, you don't have to go to every single website, but...
I know, but there's a lot, there's a plethora of information and sources. Yeah.
Absolutely. And this is the energy behind this, and for everyone to come forward and say, that's it. This is people taking their power on a global scale. This is what excites me.
Mm-hmm.
And
asking the UN for disclosure of all this information.
I'm sorry?
Well, there's a section I was reading that's asking, I think it's asking the UN, or they're appealing to the UN to make this an active part of their work.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
That's wonderful.
It's very, very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that kind of segues me in to an experience I had a couple of nights ago, which was absolutely marvelous for those of you who felt like you got some kind of an energetic download. Trust me, you did. we were working with the collective and literally taking measurements of, and this went on all night long, of what we're doing here as a group. And the group is more than just what's listening on the radio right now. There, everybody that's really participated in these sessions that has given permission, because this is permission for them to interact directly with you.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference. They can't just randomly interact like they can once you start participating. And so what we were doing was doing direct measurements of all of your frequencies and vibrations, depending on how far everybody had come. All of you who've done this wonderful, you know, shame work, bless you. And how that's impacting the collective. And we were making adjustments, and that's why the downloads happened to certain people. Now, I don't know if they went to everybody or not. But again, it was frequency adjustments to make even more of an impact without, you know, we didn't want to mess anybody up. That wasn't the intention. But it was really, it was so exciting. Now, I'm going to give you another piece here. Again, this is all under old business. For those of you who participated in the shame work, and I believe, Veronica, it was the second show on sex, shame, and religion, and this where I talked about the burning years in Europe, 15th, 16th, 17th century.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that had a huge impact on me, and 2 years ago, I did a session with someone who was a volunteer on this. It was really amazing. And during her session, we worked with a light body of all of those people, all 5 million people. Mm-hmm. There were some men as well as women. And there was, I'm trying to remember the huge number of different races and beings that were observing this and kind of holding the energy. It was done in an arena kind of format. So I've had a long kind of relationship with this. And for those of you who've listened to the shows, I blew my first, second, and half, my third chakra, you know, with that particular show. And they had to retrieve, and this is people that were actually, had two different people working on me besides my team, literally retrieving, and they didn't know anything about the show, retrieving pieces of my second chakra out of the 15th, 16th, 17th century. And this person was saying, how did this happen? And I'm like, all right. So a phenomena that I developed, which I've now created a whole new energy field, which is much bigger than the last one, and to allow more to come through. It's really wonderful. So what I started developing over the last, I don't know, month or so, an interesting phenomenon. Well, it's actually been ongoing for longer than that. Probably over the last couple of years it began. And I've been laughing, you know, on the shows about the fact that the second chakra has been a problem for me. And, you know, it's kind of developed a life of its own. And I've had, you know, these infections and whatever, no reason for them. And all of a sudden, my hair started falling out.
Mm-hmm.
So one person that works on me says, well, it's this whole new energy field. You've got it so big that we're, you know, we'll make the adjustments so it won't last too long. And I kept asking the team, there's something more. I can feel it. I don't know what it is, because things aren't always one thing. They can be more than one thing at the same time. My scalp actually burns, and almost like, it's not an irritation from a substance. It literally kind of burns on the inside. And I'm still dealing with the other problem in the second chakra. And, you know, anywhere that I have hair growth, under my arms, whatever, but there is, not that it's grown out, but it's still this phenomena of irritation. And we were trying to figure it out. And finally, today I noticed my eyebrows were bothering me. And that's when they said, okay, those women were shaved,
uh-huh.
All of them. Their hair, under their arms, their pubic areas, etc., because they believed that the power was in their hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, my God, I picked up that imprint of shame and pain around that. So I immediately called somebody that works with me on some of this stuff and said, geez, look at, you know, go in on a different frequency and look at this. I'll work on it as well. So I just thought that was such an interesting piece that I wanted to share it.
Wonderful piece.
Mm. Huh?
Wonderful. It's a very interesting one, isn't it?
Well,
it's not necessarily you, but I think you also were involved in the burning.
No, I do not feel, I have to be honest with you, and this is one thing I wanted to point out. I don't think you have to have a lifetime, necessarily, in an experience, because this one is such a huge imprint in the collective, Veronica. It you know, when you're talking 5 million people and how it tied into religion and the male chauvinism and doctors, all God projections, and I saw a video about it 10 or 12 years ago, and it infuriated me. I didn't have any sorrow. I didn't have any of the normal emotions you would have, let's say, around if you'd had a lifetime experience like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was just enraged, and I knew for 24 hours I was enraged. And I knew what it was about. It was that this had happened the way it had happened and what it had done to the collective and how we carried it at a cellular level, all of us. So whether whether you had the lifetime or not, at some level, in your subtle body, within yourself, you're carrying this imprint because it was that big. And really, it doesn't matter if I did or I didn't. I just don't have any sensing of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I don't have a real sensing of having had many lifetimes on Earth at all. But here's what I'll say. And it'll come up a little bit later. What I got very clear is that working with it, both with one client and then working with it on the show, was enough because I've had this desire to help shift that energy, that huge piece that sits there. Things are kind of spaced out over time in the total collective. When you get something that's that concentrated, it leaves a huge mark, a tear right in the collective. You can't miss it. So, okay, another piece. Did you want to talk about that more? I'm sorry.
That's fine. Actually, what I was thinking is when you're saying it leaves a big mark in the collective, I'm going, well, for many people, that's kind of a vague, people don't understand what that means, you know? Like, how can we see that visually? How can people understand that visually?
I wouldn't know how to show people that, to be
honest.
Would it
be like a congested energy or knot of energy that we cross?
It's a big, dark place in the collective.
Yeah. And it's
when I look at it, that's what I see.
And so when we live into it, then it creates like patterns or disruptions or depressions and limitations in people.
Well,
because to me, the collective runs aspects of our being that are subconscious or shadow or...
Well, they're in the unconscious. Or let's put it to you this way. At the cellular level, we carry the sum total of all experience on this planet.
Right.
In some fashion. Now, as a woman, you're going to be more inclined to be sensitive to certain areas, okay? And depending on what you came in to work with in this lifetime, it may really light up. But the shame piece of it, okay... What I see in the sessions is all the people that are still working out their issues with anger at God,
mm-hmm.
okay, with the male form. You know, everybody kind of ran to the goddess and put God over here because they couldn't come to a resolution with God. God was used to punish God. And in this case specifically, it was in the name of God that all this was done.
Mm-hmm.
And under the auspices of the Catholic Church. So this can create a really big piece that is in the unconscious that we can't tap, or subconscious, we can't tap into it
mm-hmm.
because we don't remember it, but energetically it's there. Very tough to get in touch with.
No, thanks for explaining that.
Okay.
Magic of the collective.
Yeah, well, you know, believe me, this experience I had the other night with the collective was just wow. I've never been conscious of being in it to that degree and being able to stop. You know, I just consider this the e-ride. I think it comes with, it's kind of like my bonus. Okay, interesting thing came to me. There's been a lot of controversy out there right now about The Secret. A lot of people are dissing The Secret and saying, oh, you know, it's this, it's that, and, you know, doesn't really work. And... I was reading something from Matthew today that I thought, not the book Matthew, the Bible, the young boy that channels through his mother.
Mm.
It crossed over. And the answer the comment he made about the secret, because somebody in their question got into the Illuminati and all this stuff, and I'm like, But his answer was really stunning about the secret, and I'll just share it with you here. Anything that is developed for good can be used for bad. The importance of the secret is its acquainting of the masses with the universal law that is in constant operation and which heretofore very few people know they were using either to their benefit or to their detriment, depending on whether their focused thoughts and feelings were about abundance or neediness.
Hmm.
I think it was inevitable that for some, creating abundance in life would mean primarily financial. But with the lighter energies now prevailing on Earth, raising consciousness, I believe that the law will be applied more so to spiritual and planetary abundance than to just achieving a fortune of money. Again, you know, I wanted to share this because, and I think it's an important piece, especially as we walk into the shadow here. Anytime we put a judgment on anything that money is bad, and boy, this one is, again, in the collective,
mm-hmm.
that if you're spiritual, you can't be successful and you can't have money.
Mm-hmm.
And so it plays out on the dark side with people looking for a windfall. You know, they get involved in multi-level marketing, offshore. You know, I've seen different programs that I could go into, but it would take a whole program to do it. And waiting for this windfall that they're going to circumvent, you know, all the rules, and this is going to come to them because whatever, okay? And that this is coming from spirit and so on and so on, and Nisara and all these other things, that all debt's going to be wiped out. And, you know, I really want to say here that your judgments about money, if money's a trigger in any way, and that, we'll get into that in the shadow, it's something you really need to look at and where those beliefs came from. And, you know, so much of it is really tied into religion and spirituality that, you know, somehow it's a badge of courage to be poor, and if you're spiritual, you can't be rich. And that money is bad. Money is evil. Money is the root of all evil, okay? But I wanted to share this because I thought it was an interesting comment on it. And
Could I say something about that also, is that I think when I hear people dissing the secret, I just sort of go, well, it's sending a wave through the collective. I mean, that's pretty good. And for all of the faults, it's still either it's lifting some aspect of it for many, many, many people.
Okay, and I agree with you, Veronica, 1,000% here, and I'm going to go back to the Da Vinci Code, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not the best piece of literature on the planet. Created controversy all over the place, but it created a crack in the collective.
Exactly.
Around the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was huge. The secret is doing, I agree with you so much, the secret is doing exactly the same thing.
Right.
And if it's reaching the masses, I don't care if they're arguing about it or not, they're talking about it. Energetically, it's got energy going to it, great.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard of a lot of people waking up to the fact that it might be possible to create the reality, period. And I'm going, wow, and you can talk about it to all kinds of people that you couldn't have talked about it before that.
So, how wonderful is that?
Exactly.
And that's a step in taking back their power.
It's a reference point, yeah.
I mean, that if that's what it does, if it gives them just even an inkling that they have responsibility and can take back some of their power, then it's done a huge thing for the planet.
Right, and there's things missing in it, but that's not my concern right now.
Oh, absolutely not, because there are people with their innocence who will follow everything that's in there
mm-hmm.
and create amazing things. You know,
this
is the beauty of it, because they don't know any different. It's like I used to laugh at people who first got into real estate, because that was my career all my life,
mm-hmm.
and they would take on things I'd never think of taking on, but because they believed they could do it, they could make it happen. I just loved it. I thought this was wonderful. All right, so moving into the shadow now, and a couple of things I want to say here, and everyone, I recommend these to you as we go through this process. Debbie Ford's book, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. Do yourself a favor. It is a wonderful piece to work with for things that trigger you, okay? And I worked with Debbie. I'll go into that in a minute. Well, I'm still in recommendations here. Lazaris, LAZARIS.com. A tape called Working with Your Shadow, An Imperative on the Spiritual Path, and he also has a book, and it's now an e-book, so that you can go online to Lazaris.com and download it for $10 and something. And it's a small book, so it won't crush your computer. But it's a powerful book, and there's a lot of room for journaling. And, you know, just to stir things up, I think it's you know, Lazarus's tools are brilliant. I swear to this all the time. So, you know, getting into some basics of the shadow, okay? And, you know, again, this is a... I love Lazarus's take on this, and it makes it, I think, more palatable for everyone. Is to think of the shadow as a loving, neutral being that holds everything that you weren't able to deal with from the time you were born, the light and the dark. And that people are afraid of the shadow, and this is what I'm seeing. Some people actually, it frightens them. They're afraid of what they're going to find in it, some horrible thing about themselves. And, you know, what am I going to see that I'll hate about me? And I would say to everyone that, you know, I think everyone is going to be amazed at what they find there, because the shadow holds everything you can't handle from the time you're born. So all the places that you stuck your power where it was repressed, and, you know, we'll get into that more. But I think that that's, if you can think of it as that, as a lovely neutral being, I think that's a wonderful the shadow waits for you to be ready to retrieve it all. The shadow never lies. It is the enemy of the negative ego who will tell you, don't look there, it's too scary. Now, I think that's powerful stuff when you think about it, Veronica. Mm-hmm. I think that the whole issue around the shadow and the fear that it evokes, this dark, shadowy figure carrying around stuff that you don't want to know about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the concept of understanding it as a being, which in essence it really is, may not have form, but it may personify for you. But once you move into the shadow work, it, your higher self and the shadow are there working together, saying now they're ready. They're finally ready to see who they really are. And, I mean, it's brilliant. And this work is, again, we're doing this for the collective. It was born with you to hold sacred and protect all the stuff that you cannot deal with, that you cannot accept. It is not your enemy. Now, I'm going to share some of my own stories here because, for, you know, whatever reason, I decided to take on as much as I could in this lifetime. So these are personal to me. Some of them may be about clients, but I will never disclose who they are. Because, of course, as soon as, okay, it was decided we were going to start the shadow work, they started handing it up to me right and left.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so lucky. Now, I'm going to say this, too, that some of the stories I'm going to tell you here, please, everyone, don't feel badly for me. I am really fine with all of it. I am so thrilled to be able to look back at a repertoire of life and be able to pull all these different pieces out and be able to use them as examples. I consider it, you know, I am a little twisted, we all know this, but I think it's wonderful. So... let's see. Okay, and this is not about me. It's only using these things as examples, so please understand that as well. The shadow work is magic work. I can't emphasize this one enough. There is magic here, and I've experienced it in a large group of people. It was, even though I was having the worst time of my life, you could not miss the magic. It literally engulfed everyone participating. I went to a Debbie Ford workshop called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers, and I had read the book. I had already done work, and a lot of work on the shadow, my shadow, the earth shadow, the body shadow, because I got, of course, cancer with it. Thank you, Debbie. And so right after all of it, right on the backside of having the cancer surgery, I went to this workshop, and I've told some of this before, but it's really appropriate to incorporate it here. And I was resistant as hell, okay? This was the last thing I wanted to do. I figured this work had almost killed me. I really wasn't excited about doing it. And so I was all dressed up, which is what I normally do. If I'm trying to put on armor, I do it with clothing and jewelry. Mm-hmm. And I walked in, and Debbie Ford took one look at me, and I went, I'm a dead duck.
You should feature your armor.
Oh, she saw totally mm-hmm. who I was. And I knew it. And there was just, I knew the minute I walked in there, there was nowhere to hide. And, but I saw the magic. I experienced it myself, and I saw it for everyone that participated. And, I've told the story before. The first night, they passed the microphone around, and this woman stood up and said, I'm so-and-so, and I'm a bitch, and my eyes kind of rolled back in my head, and I thought, well, what? And, this is one of my favorite stories about owning your bitch and how freeing that can be. So what I really realized in kind of looking through Lazarus's workbook, I realized that it was my negative ego trying to keep me from going there. Because what I got out of that workshop was an absolute treasure that allowed me to do this work. And, it was very interactive, which, when you're doing shadow work doesn't sound very exciting. But you were broken down into pods, so on, and people were confronting you and so on. Not generally my cup of tea. But what was so fascinating is that what I found there, for me, was that, and I had spent my whole life trying to get back to the magic I held as a little girl, that incredible connection to source, that absolute knowingness. And during the 3 days, I found that all of my psychic abilities, and Veronica, you'll relate to this, mm-hmm. all of my psychic abilities, I shut down because I frightened people, and so I was kept locked up as a result. Mm-hmm. And I was not brought out into public. No one knew what I was going to say. Therefore, it was, I was shamed, and I was. So what I did is I stuffed it in the shadow, and the shadow lovingly held that for me. But I didn't have the courage to bring it out into the world until I could retrieve the full gift. And the other piece that I got there, was being prostituted, and yet now I'm gonna segue back here. As a child, all my life, people wanted me for their reasons because of living in all these different homes, and I was either the housekeeper or the babysitter or. One family I visited with all the time, they were very wealthy. Their child had died, so I was, their little fantasy, this little girl who would come in and fill that role just for whatever period, and then they'd send her home. So, for them it was wonderful. For me, it was, as we know, Veronica, great exposure, but mm-hmm. ultimately there was never that real depth of love. Mm-hmm. It was just I was this piece. And it went on through my life again, because even through my marriages, where I was the workhorse, I was the one that provided the safety, you know, I created the magic, this is what you want to be in life, I'll make it happen for you. And I remember one time my husband had me going door to door at night selling a product that he was supposed to be selling as he sat out in the car eating a hot dog.
Hmm.
And so I attracted, of course, to me men that were inappropriate, that did horrible things. You know, I would be showing a home in real estate, and the owner would come up and just grab my behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go into shock. There was nothing I could do. I'm with clients. I had a series of these kinds of situations. And
would you say that's because of the suppressions in your shadow?
Because it had to reflect back to me.
Right.
Okay? It had to reflect back to me. So the other night, right after the last show, I had this dream. And, again, they're serving it up to me. And in this dream, I don't know why I'm in this place that has healing tables, but it's actually for some sexual purpose, okay? And there's this young girl laying on a table, and I look at her, and I said, "You're like 12 years old." And her eyes were dead, and she said, "It's okay." And I was furious, and I went back to the owners. We're in a back room, and I said, "What are you doing? This is a child." And they handed me a pack of condoms. Now, it's all symbolic, of course, you know. And I screamed at them, "I want to see the owners." And they took me out into this alley to this other place, and I wanted to tear them limb from limb. I was enraged. I couldn't believe the rage. And I woke up with that rage. And I kept thinking, oh, what was this about? What was this about? It took me all day to finally realize that this little girl was my prostituted little girl.
Hmm.
And that I wanted to, the rage that came up as a result, finally I brought it to the surface because it was in my shadow. And I don't get in touch with rage well, or at least I haven't historically. But I thought it was very prophetic. And how beautifully the shadow served it up to me and my higher self to be able to see it. And to be able to feel it. And
was there a huge release in you from then on? That was only a week ago, right?
Sorry?
That was only a week ago, right?
Yes. Yes.
Have you noticed a big difference in yourself?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, it what I noticed right away is how my whole attitude towards men shifted. And went to a very loving place. Now, I tend to love everyone. But there was some peace that fell away. And I didn't have this lack of safety, this feeling of threat from men coming at me.
Hmm.
And I thought, wow, what a gift that is.
Hmm.
And because my body actually responds. I know this feeling of discomfort that if I get involved with a man, that potential is there to go off into some place I don't want to go, you know, where I try to create for them and I lose myself and, you know, give up so much of me, okay? Mm-hmm. And now I don't think today I would ever even go there, but the threat is there, you see, that feeling and that imprint was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have that sensing of it at all for the first time in my life.
Wonderful.
So let's kind of go to the reflection, okay? What you don't own, and this is where it gets confusing, comes at you in relationships, friends, lovers, family, all kinds of situations. And I could never get mad at a man. This was an interesting phenomenon to me. And so I fell in love. This happened to be the love of my life. And it was, he definitely came in to be my teacher and to really trigger a lot of things for me. I didn't see his rage. It was really interesting until we were well into the relationship, you know, a couple of months and very involved and actually living together. Actually, it was about 6 months. And all of a sudden, his rage showed up one day, and I was paralyzed. Absolutely, I went into shock. I did not know what do it with it at all. I couldn't even understand it. And what was interesting is that something slipped in me, and this man allowed me to bring forward my rage for the first time in my life, really bring it forward. And he threw some papers at me one day, and I literally turned the office upside down. And he couldn't stop laughing. But, and I looked at, I remember looking at him, and I actually said to him, "You are my shadow. Oh, my God." He was, I perceived him to be one of the most powerful people I'd ever met in my life. He had turned like $10,000 to $130 million in 1 year. So in my eyes, I saw him as so powerful. Energetically, he could walk into a room and just rivet everyone. You literally would feel like you'd been plugged into a 220. Now, what he was showing me was what was stuck in my shadow, my rage and my power, both of them. Now, it was coming at me because he had power over. He absolutely, you know, he didn't necessarily use it in a positive way all the time, but... And, of course, I projected onto him what I wouldn't own myself. And I think this is another piece of it that we sometimes forget. At least I'm guilty of this. I will never accuse anyone else of doing it. But I'm certain that there are people out there who have fallen in love with people and have seen them through what we call rose-colored glasses. And eventually, at some point in the relationship, the projection may or may not fall off, or they stay with someone that they should never stay with. The relationship is horribly destructive, sometimes financially, sometimes physically, sometimes emotionally, sometimes all of it. And they can't walk away. And I'm fascinated by this because I've lived all of it. But I also understand that when we're with someone who is reflecting back to us what we won't own, it's almost impossible to completely walk away. It becomes almost addictive. It's so interesting. Does this ring a bell for you at all?
Oh, yes, it does.
Well, how has it played out in your life?
Well, actually, I'm watching. Let's see now. My second marriage, I'd say. Well, probably my first marriage and my second marriage, actually. That naivety and thinking of ways I had to be in order to be in relationships. And it got really, I guess the first one, the combativeness was, it's hard to explain because we didn't fight that much, but it's like we were acting out our parents, or I was acting out my mother, and he was acting out my mother, it seems to me. You know what I mean? It was like,
yes.
Both of us were coming from that same place at times. And I think my second marriage was very, very much a deep attachment to make each other kind of safe, and I don't quite know how this works with the shadow. I'll have to think about it. But it's like we had this deep, steaming attachment going on all the time. It was draining me, actually.
Well, I think where we get into the projections thing, because this is kind of another piece of it as well, we're going to project, and this goes back to the chain of pain, all right? Projecting God onto father, goddess onto mother, and we continue that projection to lovers, husbands, etc. And we then layer onto them the relationship that we haven't healed. Sometimes it's just father or mother, sometimes it's both. Then we can't really see that person at all. And what we're really doing is working out that relationship. Now, it has all the other twists and turns, including the shadow and some other things in there as well.
Right.
And this is where, you know, things are not... nothing is just one thing. It is layers and a series of people who work with energy workers, and we do a lot of energy work. It's layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. And as you discover it, as you get into it, those things can start lifting out. But, you know, some people will say, well, why can't you just lift it all in one? Can't.
It's an intricate weaving, isn't it?
It's a totally intricate weaving. And with this same man, I had an experience where he did something to me, and I looked up and I realized I was looking not only at my shadow, but at my mother. And I thought, okay, this is just even too weird for me. I'm going to talk about another situation, which I have a dear, dear friend, and who's married. And in childhood, her father was a raging alcoholic. And he tried to kill her mother, strangle her mother. And she jumped in as the youngest child to save her mother and her sister because she perceived that he was going to go after the sister as well. And she took on, as a little girl, sole responsibility for keeping this man under control. Now, she can't pull up all the things that happened, and we don't know how deep it went, to be very honest with you, in terms of all she was willing to sacrifice to try to save her mother and her sister with this man. And so she became the pleaser. She became, in her mind, this is such an amazing story. She never touched her rage. She never touched any of it and continued on through her life being the pleaser, taking care of everyone, not feeling, numb. She can't feel. She can't feel energy. She can't feel. She has empathy for everyone and everything, one of the most beautiful souls on the planet. She can cry for an animal. She can cry for a child. She'd cry for me and my little girl. She'll cry for my little girl. If we talk about my little girl, she just can't, she can't contain herself. She starts sobbing. Now, this is really her little girl. She's feeling through mine, okay? And she's with a man who rages and who pushes her and pushes her and pushes her. And what's so fascinating is that in that relationship, she can't walk away. And she keeps trying, hoping that he will heal, hoping that he will heal. And she has shown him every book and every tape and everything. And she can't.
But it's his reaction to her.
It is her rage coming at her through him.
Yeah, that's interesting.
The rage that she's never been able to touch. And if she can ever touch the rage, it can all heal. It can all shift. And whenever she finally, because to her, everything should be done nicely. Everything should be done kindly, you see. So her power, her real power, is in the shadow. Her rage is in the shadow, along with some many other, you know. And to watch that unfold in a relationship and to be so involved, because I'm very close to the whole family and to both of them, I love them both dearly. But it is so clear to see it play out the way it has played out. This is an exaggerated situation. Now, she got cancer. And finally, she thought, okay, this, now I have to do something. She could not cry about the cancer, but her daughter's best friend got cancer, this young boy. And she sobbed uncontrollably for a month over this young boy. She couldn't cry over herself, only over him. Really an interesting story. Very exaggerated now, but nevertheless.
So is that a really good example of when somebody's rage and power is locked in their shadow? They can only feel for other people, but they're numb?
In her case, yes.
Mm-hmm.
In her case, yes. Absolutely.
That's sort of interesting. It's like tamped down inside of her.
Exactly. And she's so powerful. We all know how powerful she is. We all know how powerful she is. But somewhere in there, she put a judgment on, because her father was a rager, okay? And to her, she would never rage. She made up her mind that you never solve anything by getting angry.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, she will never go there. Not really. She's starting to. But she can't get, and it, you know, our inside joke is whenever she's upset, hide the knives. She's actually terrified of touching that rage.
Because
she doesn't even know what it would look like.
Doesn't know if she just blow her stack.
Say it again?
Does she talk about what it is? I mean, does she know she hides her rage?
Yes, but she doesn't know how to touch it. She went to the Debbie Ford workshop with me.
Oh, my.
And they put her in, this is very funny, only Debbie would do this. Debbie had a group called the Resistant Assholes. I hope I can say that on the...
Well, you just did, so I guess we'll find out.
I guess it's okay. And it was actually the name of a group of people that could not break.
Hmm.
They couldn't break through her shield. She had so numbed out as a child that nothing could penetrate it.
Oh, my.
Ever. Ever. So it will be interesting because she's brilliant. She's just an amazing being. But again, here's the situation where there's a contract between she and her husband, who she knows she's supposed to be with and she loves, that he's going to keep giving it to her until she owns it.
Hmm.
And once she owns it, he'll back right down, because he's really underneath it all. He will fold. I know this guy. He might whine, but he'll fold. And it's not about him. This is where we get tripped up in that codependency of the negative ego, trying to fix the other person. If they just get it, everything will be okay. That's not the case. What are they showing you about you?
Hmm.
And if you're out there trying to fix someone else so that you can be happy, trust me. Stand in front of a mirror. It's there somewhere. I mean, I've had to learn this one the hard way over and over and over again. And people like that will not do it because to her everything should be done nicely. She won't do it through rage. She will do it through control and passive-aggressive behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you do, is you go into those other ways because you don't have the gift of your true power. You don't have that gift of your true power.
Mm. Well, I've been in real fix-it relationships, too, so that's interesting, thinking about that.
All right. Now, ran into one during a session, and this one was really fascinating, and this is a person who I know to be incredibly bright, and for whatever reason, they don't think they are. And during session, we went back into childhood, and there was a situation where she brought her schoolwork to her father. This had never come up before. And she was, you know, as a little child, would bragging about, look what I got. She couldn't remember the exact situation, but I could see it. What was so fascinating is he told her, don't brag. Basically, he shamed her.
Hmm.
And she had done something well in school, so what happened? The belief, the imprint was, it's not good to be smart.
Hmm.
And here was this treasure sitting there in her childhood. And all these years, she had this belief that she wasn't smart enough, and she's very smart. That's not the case at all. I knew it. But when she found it was just amazing. There it was. Couldn't miss it.
Hmm.
And the implications of that for her life were amazing. Now, you know, this one also translates to sin, okay? We're not going to get into the whole religious thing today because that's a whole other show. But for all of you, and this one came up all as well, so many children have left their courage in their childhood through some trauma where they were hopeless and helpless and powerless. And they couldn't they couldn't use their courage, or they couldn't tap into their anger and their rage. They weren't allowed to. Most children aren't, actually. And if we see some parent allowing a child to rage while we think they're too permissive, it's good to be able to use it in a good way. I know in one case, I was in a foster home, and the people's real child tortured me. And she did things to me that were just unbelievable, and I knew never to make a sound, because if I did, I knew that she would just annihilate me. And one day, she and her friends were beating up on me and chasing me, and I thought, you know, I've had it. And I turned around. I was 8 years old. And I was going to punch him out, and I got absolutely destroyed. And the message was, don't ever defend yourself because you'll get crushed. And believe me, I held on to that. That was one a huge one for me to overcome, confrontation. Now, we know a lot of people that hate confrontation, absolutely hate it, would just as soon chew off their arm as to have to go through a confrontation. Fear of sexuality, and that this is, you know, this one, again, this will do a whole, this is a really deep place where people, you know, have stuff stuck in their shadow around sexuality, especially those who have experienced any form of incest or sexual abuse in childhood, and there are a lot of them. Even those who've had abduction experiences, and they translate into some form of sexual abuse when in fact it really wasn't, but they perceive it as that. I had a fear of my sexuality, and so I would attract men that would end up withholding sex on me eventually.
Oh, how interesting.
And what was interesting is that the belief, and I had to actually, while I was writing the show tonight, I was like, wow, my mother was a very sexual woman, very beautiful woman, and she would go off when I was teeny tiny on these off weekends, and certainly in those times she didn't do that. And always had, after she divorced my father, had, a multitude of lovers, dated the stars, this and that. And I had walked in on her at different times, and she was, really the Hollywood vamp, if you will. She was definitely, we lived in Hollywood. And so somewhere in there, I made some judgment, and I stuffed it, even though I'm certainly not a fridge of woman by any stretch of the imagination. But what was interesting is that I played this out. I spent my whole life waiting to have sex and complaining that my husband didn't, and it was really in me, not in him. It was in me. And I just, that realization as I'm doing the show tonight, I'm going, wow, cool. I get it. And so this whole healing for me in terms of, not having to be, to attract that any longer, because I don't have the judgment on it any longer. And I just found it very, very, very fascinating. Many of you were rejected as children. I want to touch on this, and Ronk, I'll let you comment if you desire. Many of you, because you're star beings, came in and you didn't fit into the family mold. And I run into this all the time, where parents even rejected the child, and because you were different energetically. You were different. And I was as well. Our parents didn't know what to do with us. It was just like a whole different frequency. There was nothing that they could actually define. It was like they didn't want to be around you. And you felt it. You felt not really a part of the family.
Yes, that's for sure.
And that translates to being flawed. And with that one, being flawed, a whole slew of your gifts are sitting in the shadow. A whole slew of your gifts, your power, your ability to become visible, that people will love and accept you because you were rejected, so there is a part of you that expects it, fears being rejected, that people will see that you're not enough, and that one's really deep for people.
And it's very scary.
And, well, in there is your power, your passion, your belief in yourself, your authority, all sitting in the shadow, and it is scary. And it becomes a trip-up for people who want to go into the world with their work, whatever that may be. And whatever that work may be, whether it's just in the, early stages where people aren't even certain, but the terror of becoming visible is like an invisible shield. They can't get through it. And yet they want it, but they can't get there.
It's like a glass wall.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And it's big. It's really big. And I know a lot of you out there listening tonight are you know, in different fields should be amazingly successful and find that you're struggling with some of this.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of the listeners. And the other one is a fear that you're going to screw it up. That somehow you'll do it wrong. It won't be good enough. And it's almost better to have the dream of it than to face the fear of not being enough, of being seen by others as being flawed. It's so deep in everybody. This one's really deep.
Do you think it's a collective?
I'm sorry?
Do you think it's in the collective of star children?
I don't know that I would say it's in the collective. I will say this. There is a program that we all came in with to kind of stay under the radar mm-hmm. until the time was right. And the time is right now, and now the goal is to let go of that old program.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that piece to it, Veronica. And then there's the other piece, which is all the damage that you experience by being a star child, you know, feeling so different in your family,
oh,
feeling
mm-hmm.
like you're on the outside looking in.
Right.
And that one's so tough. Now, we're coming to the end of the hour, so I want to skip over some of this stuff and get right to trigger words. If you get the Debbie Ford book, this is such a great piece of work because it will trigger everything. Look at words that trigger you. What triggers you? If you're gay, is it faggot? You know, if you're sexually active, is it slut or whore? You know, is it being greedy, failure, fraud, power, success, money?
Crazy.
What?
Crazy.
Crazy. That's the other one. Crazy. Out of your mind. And thank God, if you're out of your mind, God bless you, because that's where we need to be.
You bet. The eccentric mind, off the wheel.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So we begin. Do know that your higher self and all your guides and certainly the shadow are going to start showing you stuff. And please keep a journal, guys. Get, you know, your own little book just to kind of write in. Because
a journal of hot words, of hot...
just experiences, because things are going to... Dreams, mm-hmm. trigger words, you're going to see it in television, you're going to see it with your mate, you're going to see it with your kids. Things are going to start popping up here. I can tell you it's on the move right now. We've moved into that magic shadow place.
Great.
And, you know, I really want to say this to everyone. I'm excited for us. I don't see this as nearly as tough as shame.
Well, we're going to be stepping out of the what's locked in the shadow, right?
We're going to retrieve it,
mm-hmm.
incorporate it, get our gifts back. That's the goal here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal.
And that'll be next week?
Well, no. Veronica, you're so cute. I don't know what they have in store for us next week. I think we're going to go further into the shadow. And it'll be interesting to see where it goes. You know, I started to write what next week's show was, and I had to take it off of my notes.
Oh.
I'm like, and they're like, no, we're not going to tell you. So, you know, I get to be always on the edge of my seat. It's called keeping me in the now moment. That way I don't get to project.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's really a wonderful place to be.
Well, tonight's show has been very evocative for me. I've really learned a lot. Thank you.
Well, again, everyone, Veronica, please give everyone your website and your show information, your wonderful radio show.
Okay, my show is Radiance by Design. It's Tuesday afternoons, West Coast time, from 4 to 5 p.m. And we work with a lot of issues that are running people's lives, too, and it's a call-in show. And I'm an intuitive and work with you as you call in. So,
and folks, I can tell you, this woman can see energies that she's amazing, absolutely amazing.
Thanks, Steph.
And you know our website here, ethealing.com. Love to all of you. Thank you so much for participating, for having the courage to step into more stuff. And we will see you back here next Thursday, same time.
Thanks, Jackie. Many blessings and much love to everyone.
Oh, Veronica, love to you, dear.
Thank
and
you,
to all of you, I send you my I send you my love. I thank you. I love you all totally. Good night, everyone.
Good night.